Be seated. It's good to be here. It's a little cold. The day's been pretty nice. Seems like it's been pretty nice all day, and yet toward the night it began to get cool. Whereas this is beautiful weather, but it's dangerous weather. When weather goes up and down like that, it's warm and cool in the same day. It's real dangerous. It can cause you to take pneumonia. Be well to keep the little ones wrapped up real good and be careful with them because it's real dangerous. Still looking forward to our trip to India. As a matter of fact, as far as I know, Sister Linda's making the reservations for us to leave right now. And so far as I know, the date is set for the 21st. Supposed to leave here on the 21st and supposed to arrive in Bombay, India on the 24th, I believe it is, and start service on the 25th. Supposed to have about 10 days of meeting in Bombay, and then whatever the Lord leads in the other places, or ever how He leads. But we're praying and believing the Lord for a miracle. I was telling Betty today that no matter which way we go, we always have to trust God to work a miracle, because all of the money that's come in, what money has come in for the trip that the people has given, has already been used on bills. That doesn't leave me anything at all. So I still have to believe God for a miracle to go to India. Some had let the bills, well, that is, in general, they had let the bills get so delinquent and out of sauce until it took everything that I could get here, and then I had to believe the Lord for another 50,000 or better, and then had to believe Him for some more. So all in all, it has been, it's taking about $80,000 or better to make the trip, because as a rule, we never leave on the home front until everything is in order. And it's taken more than $50,000 just to set things in order on the home front, aside from all that you've give. It took that, and it took all that you've give in your pledges for India. It took all of that you gave, plus about another 50,000 plus a number of thousands outside of that, just to get things right on the home front. And we, of course, are always right back where we started. And we have to believe God for a miracle whenever we go to take a trip. Irregardless, we always have to do it. Thank God for His wonderful blessings, and I thank God that He meets the need, that He stands by us. And regardless to whether it's large or small, He always works it out. To try to figure out how that He does it is utterly impossible. And that, of course, is what He does. He meets the impossible, because I know of no possible way to do it. In my communication with others, I found no one knows of any possible way to do it. So we just have to believe God every day for the impossible, and be thankful that all things are possible to them that believe, in that we believe, so that God can meet the impossible by making it possible as we believe. I don't know whether Betty and them has made the reservations or not, but they're going to make them either tonight or tomorrow. Okay, you didn't get to make them tonight. You make them tomorrow. Okay. As far as I know, we'll make the reservations tomorrow. She didn't get to make them tonight. And we will probably have to go down to Florida in the next day or two. I sure hope I can get the coach fixed so far as the exhaust system. But we'll probably have to go down there. And I need to check things out, concerning the boat. And you've also been asked to come down to Sarasota and take part in a show that Brother Ed Bowles is making for TV at Christian Retreat. He's making a Christian movie for his program at Christian Retreat. He's asked us to come down and be a part of it. Whereas we've been on his program before in Kentucky, somewhere up in Kentucky, I believe it was. Was it Kentucky, Betty? Indiana or Kentucky? Well, anyway, he wants us to come down there. He told me to be sure and to contact him and let him know if I could come. And I'd been praying over it, and I had got nothing concerning it. And then all of a sudden, today, I understood the Lord to talk to me about it today. So I guess we'll probably be going down if nothing happens. And another thing, I had asked Brother Mitch and him to work with me fixing us some flags. I wanted some flags to take with us into India. And they talked like that the ladies would work with us and help us. I was looking at one today while inspecting the building, seeing the need of the building, the carpenter work. I went in and looked to see whether they were keeping the offices neat or whether the mail was being put out or whatever. And I saw a flag that they had. It looked like that they had in good shape, had practically finished. And it's real beautiful. We're trying our best to do whatever we can around the different parts of the world. As a matter of fact, we received a letter just recently from down in Chile. We had a contact down in Chile, and we've been sending literature out in that area. Coming down to the peninsula, going down to the tip of South America, on your right, just before you get down to the peninsula where you find De Fuego, on the right, you find Chile. And then below there, you find Argentina. Coming back up on the other side, you find Brazil. And in between, you find Bolivia. Up above on this side, you find Ecuador. While across from it, you find Venezuela. And then at the top, you find Colombia. These places we've been into, and Chile is one of the places that has been distributing our literature. And we received a letter from someone that has not distributed our literature, who is a stranger to us, and they say that they had intercepted some literature there at the post office, so that is some unclaimed literature they had. It had been given to them. And the individual says, I'm about 38 or something years old, and my wife is faithful. And I have about 50 brethren under my leadership. And I've taken your literature that they gave me, and we have it in homes and places all over. He wanted more, and he said that he would sure like to work with us, said because he knew that that literature was of God. He spoke of it being wonderful literature. And he said that it was possible in the place where he was at to secure a building or whatever and set up an office for the Eternal Abundant Life work. He said, and you can have your own office here in Chile, have a direct communication. We'll work with you and be loyal and whatever. Give you an outreach of your own operation right here in the country of Chile. He sent us a picture of himself. Seems like a real nice person, a very neat, tidy person. And looks like he would be an intelligent person. You pray that the Lord will help us to know what to do about it, because it's our goal to try to put the gospel around the world. And we're asking God to help us put it around the world, and thus far he is helping us. He's making the way, he's opening the doors, and he's helping us to do it. So, you pray. Today, the Lord spoke to me in kind of an unusual way. As a matter of fact, He told me to send one of our flags to Ronald Reagan's the president, which is a very, very unusual thing. But we're going to do it. And he specifically began to point out that it had to do with the coming in of the new world. And strangely enough, it was yesterday, I believe, after we had talked some in the best basement, that our brother Fontaine, he kind of got carried away and was telling some of the brethren later after I had left, said, tomorrow's going to be a great day. This is going to be a great thing. And he said it's going to have to do with the redemption of the body. Whereas he just come in and he didn't hear what I had to say. But not knowing anything about this, I thought it was kind of unusual that he make that statement. I had spoke a little bit concerning chapter 53 of the book of Isaiah. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. And thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded. For thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth and shall not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name. And thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay thy foundations with sapphires. And I will make thy windows of agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Just reading a couple of chapters there, a little more. Speaks of the Lord Jesus, of his sufferings for us. It speaks of the church and the widowhood, speaking also to Israel. Then it speaks of the heritage that belongs to you and I through the wonderful things of God. You know, the Lord is doing something in an unusual way. As I said today, we understood the Lord to tell us that we should send the flag to Reagan's. And we're going to send one to Ronald Reagan's. We're going to make a nice flag and send one to him. And I thought it was so beautiful in the mind of God, in the revelation of the Lord Jesus, in that in this, I remember how that we pointed out very carefully that Jimmy Carter had to do with Jesus, JC as they called him. And how that Jesus has to do with the woman of the wilderness, that is the travail, which is the Jews. For Jesus is the head of the Jews. Christ is the head of the church. That is, we know that Jesus and Christ is one and the same, and that humanity in general, whether Jew or Gentile, Paul said, I prove that all is under sin and all is justified by one Savior. The Lord has divided it up in this way, calling it a rent veil, that he might, as a physician, as we would say, separate one part of the body from another, thus going into that which is dissected by the knife or the sword of the Spirit, taking out the affected part or the infected part, and doing away with it, and then bringing the body back together without suffering, without infection, without sin, without anything of misery, heartaches, oppression, poverty, or whatever. God has done it all through Jesus. And so then we see in this symbolic thing in our day, as we look through the eyes of the Lord, we see that Jimmy Carter, being a type of the Lord Jesus in our hour, I spoke of that, and sure enough, Jimmy went through a great travail. I said he'll go through a great travail, and he did go through a great travail. He was brought to shame when he attempted to rescue the prisoners, and people pounced upon him, and in many ways, he went through a lot of grief. A lot of grief. He went through a lot of things. And I said, out of that travail will be born the symbol of the Christ child. Whereas Reagan's came forth And the Bible said as soon as the child was born, he was caught up to the throne. Therefore, his nest was among the stars. And having a dual thing there, seeing the throne or Washington that is a sovereignty that is set apart from all of the other, we see a nest among the stars and the symbol of the Antichrist in the human part of it, of the intellectual powers. And then we see the throne which rules the world, that is the Washington Empire, symbolizing the spirit of truth, in that Washington was known for truth. We see a beautiful thing. We see the child caught up to the throne, ruling with a rod of iron. And that is when Reagan went to the throne in power, he told them, those that had the prisoners, he said, you will turn them loose. You will. He didn't make a request. He said, you will turn them loose. And ruling with a rod of iron, they turned them loose. But in that is the Christ side of it, then that is the resurrectional side of it. Jimmy, having to do with the Jesus side of it, all the travail side of it, the woman going into the wilderness in the time of the persecution of Antichrist, well, that is to say that while Jimmy was there, the communist power of Red China came in, laid there to devour the man-child, and Jesus, representing the second dimension of grace, in that he brought the breach over, here the man from China came in, the communist power, and here we see the powers that would not break turn loose of the foreign powers, that is, turn loose of the prisoners, in that Reagan demanded that they turn loose when he came in. He conquered, in that Jimmy paid the price of the sacrifice, the shame and whatever. Reagan, having to do with Christ and the resurrection, went down into the heart of the earth and loosed the prisoners and brought them forth. And Jimmy, having to do with Jesus, in that he was to come up, as I had made the statement just before he did it, coming up out of the death, he came up in the symbolic sense. He took the prisoners, because it was not Reagan that went to get the prisoners, but Jimmy, in that Jesus' body was the one that came up out of the earth with the prisoners and walked about the city, and they were seen. So then we see the beauty of the great mind of God. And as we see this displayed in Revelation 12, that is the catching up of the child and the going out of the communistic power, in that it was rejected to that extent and overthrown, in that Lucifer had to loose the prisoners. The fire that took place in Jimmy's attempt to try to free the prisoners, the evil, excruciating experience of the flames that burned the plane and devoured those that made the effort. Symbolic of hell and the different things that took place in many other ways that we don't have time tonight to detail, yet showing enough that we might see the mind of Christ and we might see the great God mind or the move of God in the church or in the earth today. So we see Jimmy having to do with the woman or Israel, being the head of Israel, having to do with the body or the woman or the travail that the child might be born. We see Jimmy therefore taking one part of the administration, and almost without fail, a president goes in the second time. But Jimmy, having to do, as I had said, with the middle of the week, from the first part to the middle of the week, he didn't go back in. That is to say, the term is about 8 years, and about 6 months each time is used in a campaigning thing to bring it down to a tribulation type. And so then, in the midst of the week, as we say, the cutting off, the child went up, and of course it had to do with Jesus or Jimmy, because Mr. Reagan's immediately had to turn to Jimmy and ask Jimmy to indoctrinate him with the do's and don'ts of Washington to show what the way the thing was to be run. And then on the other hand, you remember Kissinger? We might not get to say anything about that tonight. But you remember the Kissinger that had to do with the betrayal just before Jimmy coming in, and how the Jews rejected Kissinger, whereas it was said the betrayal with a kiss. And if you notice that Jimmy, being as the woman after the travail, he went into the wilderness. We say wilderness, the middle of the week, because he is from the plains in Georgia, which, whereas the name of that was taken from the plains of Dura, down in Daniel's time, where the image stood with the number 666. And of course, in Revelation 12, when the woman goes into the wilderness, the great power and the image of Antichrist is in the earth, and the personification comes. And with that, the number 666, as Lucifer consolidates his kingdom, that is, the Bible said he will force great, young, old, rich, poor, whatever, to take the mark. And you saw communism come in. We made the statement that it had come in, and spoke about Elvis Presley and the comments of Jimmy concerning the different things, that many things we spoke of that took place. That is, the red dragon came in, and all of a sudden here comes the computerized system, like we said that it would be. Well, we had made the statement that there would be a computerized system, a great computerized system. This computerized system having to do with Brussels, whereas we went over there to Brussels and saw this thing of a three-story setting. Also the common markets of Europe, that is 10 nations of confederation, that was right in the areas of Brussels. That is, their headquarters was in Brussels. And they're seeing this great 1-2-3 trinity in one of this great brain of the computer. That is something that's able to even tell an individual what's wrong with it, that they might fix it and tell them how to fix it. Seeing this and meeting an individual on the plane that was an authority that gave us some insight on it, when he made the statement, said, "This is supposed to be confidential. I'm not supposed to be telling you. I don't know why I'm telling you." But as we talked with him, we kept pulling it out of him as we had conversation. And he told us of the different things it would do, the different places, locations where the authorities concerning this was, and even in Georgia, who it was and where it was, in the state of Georgia, here in America, or in this country, that is. And there we saw the common markets, the 10 nations, that is, the buildings, the headquarters, which evidently proved to be the 10 horns. John saw the creature come up. He saw it come up out of the waters, and John said the waters was people. So it came up out of the waters. It evidently came up out of the Mediterranean, which apparently has to do with the European area, or pointing to that side of the world, the Great Sea, as it is called. So then in seeing this, we saw the head and we saw the 10 horns. We also saw how the communistic powers would come together and carry the great whore, which was the Catholic Church, and the beast would carry that great whore. And we predicted that the beast and the great whore would get acquainted, in as much as Russia or communism had to do with it, and in as much as the Catholic Church was involved in it. The Catholic Church having to do with the Great Hoa, the communist government having to do with the Red Dragon, the shooting at the moon having to do with the child going up, and that also the communist power shooting at the moon, that it would have to do with the Red Dragon waiting to devour the child as soon as it was born. We spoke of the shuttle going up and what it had to do with, and that it had to do with the rapture. And then we said that eventually they'll send a woman up that will have to do with the rapture of the church. And I understand now a woman is already made ready and she's going up. In this, we also spoke that at that time it would have to do with making the nest among the stars. And it is true that the little ship sat down and they called it the nest. And the moon being among the stars, so it set itself down among the stars. We spoke of the American flag going up. That is to say, God's spirit of grace withdrawing from the earth, in that it is referred to as old glory, that the glory of God is departed from the earth. The stripes, the stars, that is the crown upon the woman's head, America, that's seen in Revelation 12, and the stripes upon his back, in that Jesus was the woman, going up. And Dickie Bob wrote over the door of America. Whereas it has followed it exactly so far. We had spoke of how that all of this would have to do with the middle of the week, and then the coming in of the tribulation period. Many, many multiplied things we had added to this, and speaking of it and the different things that would transpire. I noticed that Mr. Reagan's has just made a statement or declaration that they carried in the newspaper, and the heading was, "The only way to balance the budget is by the Ten Commandments and the Golden Rule." Whereas we had made the statement that his principal interest would be to balance the budget, and at the time that they gave us the clippings, we had just finished the statement that his interest was in balancing the budget. Whereas knowing what the Ten Commandments have to do with, also relating back to the ten horns, seeing the spiritual significance of it, knowing that Mr. Reagan has at the moment allied with Jerry Falwell, which has the office in Washington, moral majority, it also fulfilled a prediction that we had made quite a long while ago, telling the people to watch it, saying that the church and the government would unite together. And that it would have to do with the redemption of the body, the very thing that Brother Fontaine had spoke about, and the very thing that the flag has to do with, in that it is going to Washington. Now, he made a statement that that would be the way to balance the budget. He had just finished speaking, or was speaking, to religious broadcasters. A matter of fact, I wonder if it doesn't have to do with the thing that Brother Ed Bowles wanted me to go and attend. He spoke of Washington and a session for religious broadcasters, and he was wanting me to be there. He said he wasn't going to be able to be there because he had this coming up down at the retreat. Me being affiliated with the retreat has to do with Canaan, Christian rest. And it has to do with Durstein, a Gerald Durstein, that was one of the speakers at Washington for Jesus, because it is his camp. And he formerly was an Amish person, or a Mennonite, which also had to do with the Jews, Canaan, and the rest. The Jews coming in, this possibly had to do with the vision that I had, which seemed to be twofold. A vision where there was a great gathering of Amish people, hundreds of thousands of them, that the leaders of the Amish people had gathered together for the purpose of me speaking to them. Whereas the capstone of the thing that God is doing that we spoke about in our last sermon, that is the revelation of Jesus Christ, drawing all of these other things together, heading up into it. We go through the elementary school, then we go through high school, and then we go to college. Mr. Reagan's made the statement that he had presented his cause concerning prayer in the school, and they refused his request. I believe the Lord let him refuse his request so that he would be bold enough to speak out and make the declaration, the public declarations that he did. Because Mr. Reagan's is the type man, if you cross him and make him think that you're not going to do what he wants to do, he's got a perseverance and a drive, ruling with a rod of iron, following the type that he's going to do what he wants to do and prove to you he can do it. And he made the statement in the papers that I'll go back again and I'll go back again and I'll go back again. I believe he said it three times. Until I restore religious freedom to America or to the United States. Which is the first president we've had to do that since the rights of religion has been taken away. Which means that history has completely made a cycle. Back to Washington, back to the early fathers, back to the cause of which America was established. Freedom of religion. And it has made a complete circle, which means America is now finished. It's closed up and over. Jimmy going out indicated the book was closed. That was the rent veil. It was over. The seals, that is, to be loosed following the tribulation period and whatever. Whereas we see it at Calvary and seals, and we see that it is a new world coming in, a spiritual world, in that from Calvary, we who are spiritual Jews, spiritual Israel, receives a spiritual Christ, which is a spiritual head, and natural Israel, with natural Jesus, goes out of the picture to be the scapegoat in the wilderness for the Gentile age. And as I brought out here of the sevenfold light of the eclipse, coming all the way down from Calvary, the sevenfold light, which is the seven church age messengers, that is the eclipse, giving a little light and a little darkness, in that it takes darkness to reveal light. As a matter of fact, last night we went in, yesterday evening, going on over into the night, we went into some things real extensively and got real deep in some things, speaking of God being the great light and the only means by which God could be seen, and how that creation came to be. We carefully explained to the brotherhood what we understood from God, how that creation came to be, and that without that means, there would be no creation, because that's the only way that creation could come into existence. We spoke about it extensively and said many, many things for a number of hours, I suppose, just speaking continually. So then, when we see this, we know that Jerry Falwell, putting the moral majority office in Washington, Mr. Reagan's coming together with him, shows the church and the state uniting. And it shows that the church has won out, in that the Bible says, though Lucifer or Satan or the people of this world shall wear out the saints of God, yet they shall rise and take the kingdom and possess it forever and ever. And the Bible says, at that moment the declaration shall be, and the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. Which makes our flag appropriate at the moment, because that's the declaration of the flag, and that was the declaration that we made when this operation was chartered with the United States government. We just received a notice from IRS, and they said they were going to take our chartered rights away if they were not informed that we were tax exempt. Well, that is our privileges. And they had it marked for March the 14th, which I believe relates back to something concerning Brother Cartridge that we spoke of, meaning little book. But anyway, here, after we called, everything was cleared away and IRS was satisfied, and they had sent us a form to fill out. We'd filled out the form, but I did not feel that we should send the form in because we did not have to according to our chartered rights. And so we filed it away, and then when we received this later notice, we told them that we did not have to file in that manner, though we do file as everybody has to file. But we did not have to file after the manner that they wanted to force us to file in or at. Now, so we straightened it out. Everything went well. And I thought it was real unusual right here at this very moment. See, because IRS runs an unusual pattern. It is not constitutional. IRS is not constitutional. It is a rebellion against the Constitution, and it is a rebellion against mankind. And it is unbelievable in that men or government, president, whatever, would let it continue to exist. Because even the president complains that it has such great power that he doesn't have any power or authority over it. And you wonder why men would let that happen. But nevertheless, as the underworld works, so works the IRS. And I thought it was strange in that Mr. Reagan's having to do with Christ, the new world, and the kingdoms, spiritually speaking, becoming the kingdoms of God. And when we say the kingdoms, we're speaking of the kingdoms of the world. That is, the Bible said, and the kingdoms of the world have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Whereas at that time, Antichrist, that is the personification of Lucifer, takes place in the earth. And he takes dominion over all of the kingdoms of the earth in the sense that he is symbolic of the reign of Christ, the forerunner, because Revelation 19, immediately through the excommunicating of Lucifer, the casting out, the binding of the red dragon, the battle of Armageddon, right at this time, the Lord Jesus comes on the white horse with his vesture dipped in blood. And coming on the white horse, he immediately sets up his kingdom to rule and to control the kingdoms of the world. So then the man child before the tribulation period being caught up, that is raptured, you and I coming over to sit down in the throne over in the millennium to rule with the rod of iron. That is, the Bible said, he that overcometh shall sit down in the throne with me, in that you are the members of my body. I am the head of those members. Heaven is my throne, and it's big enough for all of us. And if you overcome, you can sit down in the throne with me, earth being my footstool, in that I feel all in all. That is, you'll have dominion over everything and rule the nations with a rod of iron. So we see how beautiful everything is shaping up at this moment, and they that have eyes to see and ears to hear see the spiritual significance, not only of the biblical outline of what the mind of God is doing or has done in the past, historically speaking, by the prophets, but also seeing the present day truth of the unveiling of the mind of God as you and I are a part of it. And as we walk, being children of light, not children of the intellectual darkness, of eyes of darkness, but eyes of light and understanding, we know when the day is nigh even at the door. When you see these things, it is nigh even at the door. That is, it is at hand. So then when Mr. Reagan's coming together with the religious world, Jerry Falwell, which is the foremost figure right at this moment in that area, and that having to do with Virginia, in that his headquarters is in Lynchburg. It definitely indicates, being Lynchburg, it indicates the death of Judas by the hanging or the lynching. And it also indicates the virgin in the Virginia has to do with the virgin and the birth of the child. So then we see it in a real outstanding way. We also see that having, in that it relates to the Baptist or having to do with the Baptist, then it indicates the forerunner that announced the coming of the child. All of it is just perfect. In Washington, being in that area, you've got Maryland, you've got the Mary of the Virgin, you have Washington, which symbolized the Spirit of Truth, the overshadowing of the divine conception, and the entire area altogether having to do with the meeting that we had under the white tent over in New Jersey. All of that having to do with what we're saying would take too long to detail it because we'd have to stay all night. But our TV advertisement that covered Washington and covered the areas of New Jersey and our radio programs that's been up in that area also a number of times, our TV programs as well as our advertisement being in that area for quite a long time, we see what God is doing in the vision that Chuck Kistler had concerning us nailing the theses or whatever on the Washington door. The reformation of the chains, and also the brothers coming together at Little Bethlehem, signing their little declaration, all that that has to do with the independency, or that is the separation. So we see the declaration of the separation from sin and from evil. And we see the rejected stone, which is the religious part of it, becoming the head of the corner as it is raised up in Mr. Reagan's, and Mr. Reagan's makes the statement concerning freedom of religion. He also spoke of abortion and what his intentions was in the state of California when he introduced it. And he is definitely against it. And a number of other things he spoke of as concerning this year being the Bible year. And a number of things aside from that. So we see that God is taking over. Mr. Reagan's also made the statement that what America needed was a revival. He didn't just say a revival. He said what America needed was a spiritual revival. So then again, we see him relating to his type, the Christ, which is a quickening spirit, a spiritual revival. So at this same time, we see that Jimmy, having to do with the resurrection, Jimmy came to Atlanta, Georgia. That is, the government we said would shift to Atlanta, Georgia. And in that Reagan's and Jimmy run a natural and a spiritual type, the natural type having to do with Jimmy, he came to Atlanta, Georgia. We said that the capital of Atlanta would switch back to Macon, Georgia. Whereas with the coming of Jimmy, it had to do with the switching of it back to Macon. Because coming to Atlanta had to do with the powers of the great Hoa, and we predicted that Atlanta, Georgia would become one of the most noted cities in the world, and that it would become an international city, which it did. And that the government would shift to Atlanta, Georgia, whereas Kissinger came immediately after that prediction. And for the first time in Atlanta, Georgia, they held the international meeting with Kissinger. And then following that, they built the international meeting building. That is, they built this great building for international conference in Atlanta, Georgia, to denote the great Hoa in the sense of Atlanta, Georgia, and Rome. Just as Sherman burned it before, it'll be burned again. Just as the seven bridges in Atlanta was crossed in the sense of having to do with the church ages or gone with the wind, having to do with the rapture of the church, it will happen in the spiritual and the natural again. History repeating itself. Just as Stone Mountain is there, it has to do with the head of the corner, them carving the headstones, that has to do with the head of the corner. And we had made the statement that someday they would discover that that stone was connected to all the core of the earth. Whereas after that, Brother Bill York, being the type of person that he'll prove a thing, he went off and began to search and come up with a book. And the book was, it stated that there was a weird thing about the stone mountain when you got near it, how that it affected airplanes or whatever, or having some kind of magnetic tug or whatever, I can't remember what. But he said they had learned that this stone went down into the heart of the earth and fastened itself to the mantle of the earth, which mantle goes all over the world. And it's strange, but from that stone, the gates were made for the Panama Canal, or connected with it. And in numbers of outstanding places, perhaps Washington or other places, whatever, it yielded the stones. Now, I said that to say this, Jimmy, coming in this direction, it had to do with a great significance or a great thing. Coming in this direction, it indicated Jesus going back to the Jews, hid away in the heavenly perspective, which is Rome after the death of Calvary, going down through the dark ages of the Antichrist regime, which this area has to do with in Atlanta, showing the great Hoa of the Roman powers, and also showing the 666 of the image of the plains of Dura, the tribulation period or the tribulation area. And so then it also at that time shows the shifting afterwards back to the Jews, which has to do with the Macon area. As a matter of fact, after we made the statement concerning Macon, Georgia, a man by the name of George Israel came into power as mayor. We spoke concerning this and the pyramid of Egypt. The pyramid of Egypt is not capstone. We spoke of the pyramid that is on the grave of Brother William Branham, and how that though they intended the pyramid to be a capstone, yet it is not a capstone, because at the top of it, where they put the little stand for the eagle, they did not bring it into a point, but instead they rounded it off like the dome on the Mosque of Omar. And we spoke in many things of how that Brother Branham, his grave, the stone that was on it, as to what it had to do with, and concerning our meeting of the White Tent in Jeffersonville, Indiana, and in Macon, Georgia, and of the different things that transpired. We spent hours in communication with the brethren of explaining, and just dropping in a thought or two, and I wish we had time to talk about it for hours. But if you'll notice the cornerstone of the tabernacle, Brother Branham laid that cornerstone. We've got a picture of it. He told them at his death that they were to go into the cornerstone, whereas they almost immediately at his death, they went into the cornerstone. He said there was something there that they should know. He apparently had written it, left it in the cornerstone. They went into the cornerstone, and when they did, there was nothing but a little deteriorated form of a can, I believe. Just enough to show the form of it. It was deteriorated, rotted away. Apparently there had been a message in there, but it was not in the little can. It had deteriorated. Whereas the Lord spoke to me like this and said the message of God that was in the little form of William Branham, which was the cornerstone of the earth at the time that he was in the earth, that the followers had learned that that message was no longer in that little form of his human body, but that it had been laid away to the deterioration, and that the message had gone, and as he preached, the Lord changes his mask. The eagle that they could not keep on the grave indicated The message always flying away. He called it the eagle message. And as it was that some saw the eagle or a eagle land on the top of this building and on the little tent that we had out here that denoted the wilderness, Brother Gilbert, I believe, had one of those visions, perhaps both of them, but I know that he had one of them. Seeing that, Brother Branham had made the statement that he looked down in this third pool he had seen where the women had on the long dresses. He had looked down and he had seen a building that had a panoramic view, just as this is right here. And in the midst of it, it had a little booth, just as this up here. Well, as it was not made for that purpose, we did not plan it that way. God did it. And the seven candlesticks here having to do with the church age messengers all coming together in one great wonderful thing, and that is the revelation of Jesus Christ, the sevenfold light at the end of the way. Whereas no one can doubt but the fact that we are at the end of the way. But he also said that the dove would lead the eagle. And strangely enough, as we stood there at the grave one day, we was talking, and David, my little son, was there, and he was small at the time, and we was talking, and David reached down. I don't know where he got the dove or where the dove come from or whatever, but he, all of a sudden, he had a dove in his hand, and there he walked up and set it on the top of the eagle that was on the grave. Whereas they had resorted, you know, to a wooden eagle or whatever because they couldn't keep the other one on the grave. Also, it had to do with us being up there where we had seen the vision of all the people lined up at the grave of Brother Branham and the darkness coming on them. I remember it was outstanding that there was many big stones around. And when Betty and I pulled into the cemetery that day, as we started in, we got into a place to where we could not go forward because they were digging. There was digging a new grave. I couldn't back up or I would run into the stones because I was in my motorhome that had to do with Reuben the firstborn. You remember how the motorhome got the wound in the side when I first bought it before I ever closed the deal on it. I was driving it. And James Ellis was the one you know had to do with fixing it. Much could be said about that, a lot of things. Even a book wrote about that if we went off on that limb. But anyway, here we was. We couldn't go forward. We couldn't go backward. And there was a road to the left. The only way we could go was turn to the left and make a circle and come out this way. And in doing that, we had to go right in behind all of those people that was lined up at Brother Branham's grave. And I heard something say to me, remember the vision? All of these people lined up one behind another at the grave. And here the darkness is falling and intellectual darkness is covering the world, for gross darkness shall cover the earth. And you remember the big stones, all of those stones? Said, look at these stones out here in this graveyard. And sure enough, I thought, well, Lord, I don't know what to do. If I go behind them people, that will seem to be an ugly thing. They're standing there thinking about their leader and their great, wonderful warrior. And if I go there, it's going to seem evil on my part to cause them to be under pressure. And yet, somehow or another, the Lord said, go anyway. And when I got there, rather than it being a pressure and rather than them getting upset as one behind another in a chain-like parking would ordinarily have been one go see the grave, one go see the grave. Instead of that, they very reverently got in their cars, pleasingly enough, you know, they didn't act up, and every one of them went out because, as I said, the bus we referred to as Reuben the firstborn that had to do with the way cross and numbers of things, it was behind them and pushed every one of them out of the graveyard, away from the grave. So then I think even today they may have the idea that in our preaching that we're a little pushy. But it's not that at all. All we're trying to do is just bring up the rear and trying to do whatever we can for God. Now, God has an Alpha, God has an Omega. It is God in the Alpha, it is God in the Omega. God changes his mask, as we say. Therefore, the little deteriorated can, whatever, the body, the message had left it because God is a living spirit. He does not abide in a dead body. So then he went on to do his thing, as we would say, in the world, or the wonderful thing of God, in carrying the gospel in you and in me and in a living body or a living organism. So comes the message into you and I that we might continue on. And Brother Branham made the statement, if there is a tomorrow, there'll be a message for tomorrow. And whether you're enjoying the message or not, I'm enjoying this wonderful enlightenment of what Reagan is and what Jimmy is and all the others that Brother Branham very definitely did not preach, nor did not know, nor did not see, because these things had never yet come on the scene to be seen, nor to be said, nor to be preached. And so then many hundreds of things that God has been revealing and blessing us with, we preach to you and preach to thousands of people around the world. And still are preaching to thousands, even in the Atlanta area alone. 5 days a week we preach to more than 2 million people in the metropolitan area of Atlanta and to millions of people in the surrounding, in that the big gun of Dixie reaches all out into the valley of Alabama and wherever. And over KASA in Phoenix City, Arizona, that reaches also, I believe, into Tucson. But anyway, into that area, in a great way, people that follow Brother Branham are listening to this wonderful message that God has given, and we are getting response, and they're writing us. And they seem to be very appreciative of it. And I believe Bill tells me that one time we was on more than 40 stations, radio stations around the different parts of the world, preaching this wonderful message of God. We've been on a number of TV stations around the different parts of the nation, preaching the wonderful message of God. And we've been able to get our message into more than every major language of the world, in the sense of the publication of carrying the gospel to them that are without. And God's still blessing us on the home front and blessing us abroad by supplying hundreds of thousands of dollars in the means whereby we might do something for the Lord Jesus in our little way. And so then we see that Mr. Reagan's declaration has a great significance, and the spiritual side of it that is paralleling with it has a great significance, in that Brother Branham in the death, whereas his head was bruised, he had to do with the Jimmy Carter part. Whereas this part has to do with the Reagan part of it. And I believe, I believe that we're running a parallel, perhaps in birthdays or whatever, or birth signs. But nevertheless, whatever it is, God is doing something outstanding in this age. I believe they call it the Aquarius age. But whatever, they're God doing a great outstanding thing in this age, and having to do with the new world coming in. That means that the veil has been rent and taken away, which is the Calvary part of the bodily part, and that now, in that the body of sin, the intellectual mind of reasoning has been taken away, the mind of Christ is beginning to redeem the creature. If church and state is coming together, then it means the redemption of the body, because the beginning of the thing was separation of church and state, which meant the rent veil. Doing this, it was to reveal the truth, which had to do with George Washington as the great leader. That is the coming of the Holy Ghost into the hearts of the people, because Washington, as he went off of the scene, he is not commemorated nor memorialized in the sense of leadership in the natural, but rather in the spiritual, as being the great truth and father of our country, and that God is a spirit. And Abe Lincoln, having to do with Jesus, and also the black people that relate back to the Jews and bringing them out of bondage, relating back to Jesus, that is back to David, that is the father of light, Washington, Abe Lincoln, having to do with the Son of God, Jesus. And he is the one that people talks about so much in the natural as accrediting things to him, Washington being his inspiration. As a matter of fact, Abe Lincoln was so much like Jesus that he made the statement,
The Bible, speaking of Jesus being a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, Abe Lincoln made the statement, said, if my sorrow could be shared with people, every person in the entire world would share some of my sorrow that I have that much grief. Now, so then, it is an amazing thing, but we do share the grief of Jesus, being killed all the day long, accounted as sheep for the slaughter, that the life as sheep for the slaughter, that is, that the life of Jesus might be revealed through our sufferings and people might see God in our lives. But Mr. Reagan's doing the thing that he has done. It has brought a complete cycle or turn of event, and the new world is now coming in, which has to do with the birth of the man-child and many, many multiplied things that we won't take time to try to explain tonight, in that we've taken a good bit of time already. Seeing this, I read the scripture tonight that he was bruised for our transgressions, that is. I read the scripture tonight that he was the one that pleaded and made the intercession for the transgressor. And then I read the scripture concerning the barren, which is the church. Rejoice, ye that are barren, for the Bible said that which is desolate, meaning the church that hath not had the birth of the man-child, did not have any children, so far as the veil being rent or the opening of the matric to the recognition of children of sonship, their children coming forth from the travail had not as of yet been seen, but carried in the wound of the church. Yet now all of a sudden the manifestation of it is coming forth. The Bible said when Zion travailed, she brought forth her sons and daughters. And here he says concerning that which is barren, rejoice ye that are barren, for now the desolate wife shall have more children than that which could bear. The world has continually been productive in the first birth. But now the second birth of the woman that seemed to be desolate, she's going to bring forth her children, which shall be as the sands of the seashore, innumerable, and as the stars of the heaven. So then we see this wonderful thing taking place. And even in our very presence, in this day, our own president and these wonderful, wonderful leaders that are true statesmen, we see the wonderful thing of God taking place. As a matter of fact, somebody had a vision of some kind not too long ago that Washington was seeking an answer, all the leaders there, and we had the answer. We furnished the answer. Whereas I also had a vision that in this vision, one of the great leaders as a statesman, which probably had to do with some of the things that we told Talmadge that would happen to him while he was there in office, that they came to us and we furnished them the answer, but they camouflaged it in the sense the camouflaging was that they did not want anybody to know. This that made contact with me wanted the glory of what was happening and did not want me to be recognized, whereas in the vision we let it go as to what it was. But I thought about how wonderful and precise this thing is and how far-reaching it is, in that it takes us to India and it has taken us as far as the land of the midnight sun, around the world, down into South America and whatever. And I was just thinking as I saw Gracie and them coming in from the funeral of Rick Guntle, how that the Lord had dealt with me about Rick and how that he had brought Rick out in spite of the fact that the doctor said he was dead and his brain dead. For at least 30 days, he recovered from the wreck and survived, which was utterly impossible according to what they said. And after recovering, they had taken the breather off, put him in a room of his own, had him sitting up in bed and was feeding him. And his reflex had also returned. Whereas pneumonia struck him to try to kill him again, and the Lord caused him to survive. And then a kidney disease or reaction struck him, and he even survived that. And then all of a sudden this thing occurred in here. And he was taken. But before Rick went, I had already quit praying for him. The second time I had heard something say, will you release him now? And I had left off. The Lord had taken him out of my prayers for a number of days. And I had mentioned something to Brother Cartridge, and Brother Cartridge had mentioned something to me concerning Rick as to his convictions and my convictions and understanding. And it happened so beautifully concerning a resurrection having to do with Brother Branham, King of all, and especially Jesus, in that he started his ministry at the age of 30. It was so beautiful in the thing that had happened, in the way that it happened, because Rick was here when I returned from a trip, and he was standing out here when they had the flag and the welcome. There we have a picture of him standing with his hands lifted up. Today I felt to let grace go down yonder, and I overrode my conscience in it, in the sense of wanting her to stay here. That is my personal feelings. And of course she misrepresented some things that we're going to have a little discussion about tonight. And wanting to go. I don't think she meant to, but she didn't exactly tell me the way it was. But the Lord had his way, and I knew that she was supposed to go down there at any rate. And I let her go down because it had to do with a certain thing, and that with the Jewish people, and that with Rick, and that with the law, in that his dad has to do with the law. And the carryover of the resurrection, in so much, it was so perfect. That is, to have to do with the wreck of Brother Branham and the deterioration of the little body. That is to say, the message being carried over in the resurrection. They tell me that he awarded his eyes and his kidneys to another. Whether true or false, I don't know. This is what they said. And the eyes, of course, have to do with the vision and the change of the mask, because it's with the eyes of understanding that we see. And the kidneys have to do with it in the sense of the Old Testament and the offering, which would be perfect in the elimination of the poison or the eradication of death, because without them, uremic poison kills like a snake bite. It is the kidneys that has the outstanding significance in the Old Testament, in that in the belly is where the serpent lays, that big old coil of gut that lays in there that's always growling if you don't feed him. We brought out quite a number of things concerning that serpent within the belly, what it has to do with, and the kidneys are those that have to do with the elimination of the poison that comes from these non-digestive foods and whatever is placed in the body that keeps the bite of the serpent from going to the heart and killing the individual. It's a great, wonderful revelation concerning it, and we brought out quite a bit of it to the brethren. But anyway, I thought it was something that they should come in right at this moment when we spoke of the carryover and the change. And it is the Carolinas. This is the place where we spoke of Brother Branham's message being. We spoke of the dissecting of the body, of his body being buried among the rich, as Joseph of Arimathea, in that he had never joined anything but the full gospel businessmen, which has to do with California. And then we spoke of the soul going down into hell, in that the Bible said God suffered not his soul to remain in hell. We predicted that his wife, Billy Paul, and them would move the spoken word out of the hot desert of Arizona, whereas they did exactly that. And then we spoke of his spirit, that is his message, being among the Carolinians, because that seems to be the stronghold of the William Branham message. And of course, Rick being from the Carolinas, having to do with the law and Brother Branham and the quotes and whatever and the carryover, the Lord worked it out just perfect. And now, them coming in from the Carolinas right at the time we spoke of the carryover, it's really astounding the way that God did it, especially with the women folk being as they were, because they were the first to the tomb at the resurrection. But how beautiful it is, the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy, that publishes peace telling us that there is a risen Savior and that we do have hope beyond the grave. It is said that if we did not have any hope beyond the grave, we would of all men be most miserable because we deny ourselves of the things of the world. So, it is wonderful to be here tonight and to relate a few little things concerning the move of God and as to where we are right now. A lot of things we'd like to say, but as I say, when the voice of God begins to speak, He said, it's not you speaking, but God. We could go on all night long. You might question that, but we have done it more than one time. And when the sun come up, we were still going on, talking about the wonderful revelation of Jesus, because the mind of God reaches from everlasting to everlasting, and the recordings of that mind, which is that which you and I are acquainted with, so far as intellectual concept, reaches from the beginning of creation to the consummation of creation. So then, if you will, stand with me. Let's all stand together. Last night, I was speaking to the brethren concerning boundaries and stability. Must of necessity be boundaries to form stability or to give stability. And in that takes in a lot of conversation and a lot of saying, because it's by that act of boundaries that God created heaven and earth. He created all things. That's how the time era come in. That's how human beings came to be composed or created. And there is a great, wonderful, unbelievable, immeasurable knowledge of Christ, of glory and understanding concerning conformity by means of boundary. That is to say, that which gives stability. Let's sing a little chorus together. Come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. You know, we as an individual have nothing to do with what we say. Not anything when we speak of the wonderful glories of Christ. It is God. It is God's mind. It is God's glory. It is God doing it. We have nothing to do with it. And as I've said numbers of times to the brethren, this is not something that we intellectually conceive in our minds. It's not something that we carry in our brain. We come as the Lord Jesus. We come as the body of the Lord Jesus. We stand in His stead. We come with nothing in mind. We come as one surrendered to His cause, that nothing may be pre-planned, but that He may speak at will and say the things that He desires to say, as He desires to say it, without any intellectual interference on our part. So we have nothing to do with it, not anything at all. He just says what He wants to say, the way He wants to say it, and that's Him. So then, whatever glory there is in any message that is of God, then it goes to God, because we have nothing to do with it. We are of a human being. We are a human being. We are human instrumentality. We are filled with faults so far as our own ability. Our righteousness is of God. This wisdom is not given unto me that I should be different from any other man or no more than any other man. But it is by the knowledge and cause of God and for the cause of God. So if there be anything good that would come out of my ministry in any way to your benefit, then it would be God, and you should glorify God
Because as I say, so far as my faults and failures, they are so many multiplied ones in my life until sometimes I would feel crushed. If it wasn't for the fact that I know that He is, He was, and He shall be in my life, in your life, and that He is my righteousness, and that whatever, we are saved and secure in Him. Can we sing another chorus? Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit. Sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing it with me. For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And oh, the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Can you sing it one more time with me? For we've anchored our soul in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest did may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Let me say this to you in closing tonight. The revelation of Jesus Christ is the translation of the church. And people are looking in the wrong way for the coming of the Lord, and they're misunderstanding. And so many millions of people are going to miss it. He said, my people perish from the lack of knowledge. So then, by His knowledge, I read it to you, by the knowledge of my Holy One shall He make many righteous. It is by His knowledge, it is by His mind, it is by not the revelation of Brother Pike, nor the revelation of St. John, nor the revelation of St. Paul, even though we are credited with the wonderful merits of God, in that God has to have human instrumentality and use a body. God being a spirit, His mind has to speak through oral expression by means of vocal utterance. But in spite of all of this, and in view of all of this, God Himself is the one. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave unto Him, not unto me and another, but He gave it unto Him because of what He did, being heir to the mind of God and the glory of God. The revelation, that is the revealed, that which was hidden, the veil rent. Thus it became revealed, even the hidden things from the foundation of the world. Being the mind of God personified in Jesus, as called the mind of Christ, but it might be in you and I, even the little book that we were supposed to eat when John was told to take the little book. Much could be said about that. But anyway, I'm saying this, that the revelation of Jesus Christ means Him revealed.
the quickening spirit, and that through human instrumentality from within you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, revealed as an understanding, a quickening, a revelation, a glory to glory, that it might change your body into the glorified image that his body has been changed in. That mind that did that to his body should do the same to you as you move from glory to glory and it comes into you and you come into the wonderful, wonderful Shekinah presence of God. So then the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is the translation, the rapture of the church, that which caught Paul up into the third heaven. God brings it, the sevenfold light that each messenger had, which was a portion of the mind of Christ to each generation, each people. It comes in its full strength to bring Thessalonians change in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. But before that, it is perfected within the saints. And that within the saints is what brings forth the resurrection of the dead, in that the body is dead, but the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and because of the sin of the law, by the curse of the law, so is the righteousness of Christ fulfilled within us. So then we are the image of the change, that is to say, dead no more. If this tabernacle be dissolved, we have another one, eternal in the heavens, even the body of the Lord Jesus, which means in the Spirit, the body of Christ in the Spirit. We have another one, eternal in the heavens. Therefore, we groan, not that we should be unclothed, because we don't desire death. We don't desire that the Spirit should depart, go back to God who gave it, with the body laying in the ground. But rather, we groan within ourselves. Paul said, having a will to do good, evil is always present with me. I can't find out how to perform it. Continual warfare that brings oppression and sickness and sorrow, despondency. But if this tabernacle be dissolved, this tabernacle of the first birth and the wandering of the wilderness of the human intellect, conflicts of life, the land of the serpent, the dry places, if it be dissolved, we have another one in the garden of God, the Spirit. Even the body of Jesus Christ, that which was in the beginning, even the Son of God. We have that spiritual, celestial, from terrestrial to celestial, from the natural to the spiritual, from corruptible to the incorruptible. From this terrestrial into that wonderful celestial body of the Lord Jesus, that's, whereas this one for a temporal world and made of the dust, from the dust to the dust, that one, I came from heaven, I go back to heaven, the second man from heaven, even Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not you living, but him. Much could be said about this. We said enough to the brethren the other night that it would take a volume of books to write it and express it. So then, the mystery of God is great. Great is the mystery of godliness. Paul said, I'm a steward of the mystery. Great is the mystery of godliness. Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Behold, I show you a mystery. Ye shall not all sleep. The mystery of godliness. Ye shall not all sleep, but be changed. That is, not die. There's coming a change. I'm not great, but he's great. We're not great, but he's great. With him, we're great. We're nothing without him, and we're everything with him. Because he is great. We're not good. He's good. We're as filthy rags except for him. But with him we are good. With him we are righteous. Whereas our righteousness is as filthy rags. All of our efforts is as nothing. But with him we're everything. The veil is coming off. The glass darkly is moving away. Even the middle wall of partition. The mind of Lucifer that's been inbred in the body. From intellectual powers, a derivative from the fall. God has rent the veil and moved the corruption, eradicated, that we might see and believe, and that we might no longer be in the grave of death, under the covering of the shadow of a glass darkly, but rather the clouds being penetrated, caught up into the heavens, that we might see the glorious light that transforms, translates, and transfigures us into his own wonderful eternal glory and likeness.
beholding as it is the unveiling of His face or the glory of God in His face, changing from glory to glory into His glorious image. Let's just lift our hands up. I'll ask Brother Mitch if he'll come tonight and pray for us. Brother Mitch Hamby. As Mitch comes tonight to pray, let's just acknowledge the Lord. Let's love the Lord. Let's believe the Lord. Can you do that? As Mitch comes to pray, let's do that tonight.